Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, rather. Excuse me, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. I know, Brady Quinn, you're always focused on Pacific time. You've always told me that the country runs on Pacific time, not vice versa. I know that's always been
something. Yeah, it sounds a little backwards. But it's mostly because I hate doing the math with you, or you hate doing the math, so I have to usually do it for you. So I've given up at this point in time. I have all my clocks set to Pacific time, even though I'm on the East Coast. They're all set to Pacific time, which can be a little bit frustrating for the rest of the people in my family, especially my three daughters, who I'm trying to teach how to read a clock. I just tell them, one day you can have this conversation with Uncle Jonas, and he'll explain to you why all our clocks are 3 hours behind.
That's good. All right, very good. It's good to already set me up to fail with your daughters. By the way, how about the fact that
I mean, that really started when you started leaving voice notes that were laced with profanity.
First of all, full disclosure, the voice note option on the iPhone is basically the modern day walkie talkie. And anybody who grew up in the 80s or 90s, you remember walkie talkies back in the day.
Cool. And let's go a step further. You had the Nextel, where you had the phones that had the radio option, you'd chirp at one another.
Yeah, very good. And so, instead of going out and buying a walkie-talkie, and the service is a little bit spotty, and then you got to go buy batteries to put in it, you've got these voice notes on these iPhones. And so we would leave each other voice notes because, you know, we're getting ready to drive. You don't want to text and drive. It's very reckless. And I didn't know that your daughters were in the room. And let it fly a little bit, you know. I apologize, but I did feel like I made your oldest daughter and I have made amends, because I pointed out to her that the raccoon that you captured is actually going to be her roommate moving forward, which she was not thrilled with. She was not thrilled for me to point that out to her. That I said that the raccoon was getting her room and she was going to have to go outside.
She said no.
Yeah, at that point
you kind of lost her attention, I don't know that she fully understood the gravity of the comment that you were making to her, that she was going to have a little furry pest or rodent that was going to be moving in our house. She's going to hate you. She's going to hate you more than she's going to hate me at this point, at least based on the conversations you guys have had.
Okay. Well, then she, I just want to point this out. I do not encourage anybody getting in trouble, Brady Quinn, but if you were going to get in trouble, whether it's your daughter or anybody else, apparently the place to get in trouble at is Major League Baseball. Because, good God, if you needed any more proof that the Major League Baseball Players Association wears the pants in that relationship, get a whiff of this one. This, according to Jeff Passan of ESPN. Now, we talked at length and had a great time discussing spider tack and all the other sticky substances that they're using to increase spin rate on these balls and all this. Now you're seeing these pitchers whose spin rates have dropped or whatever. I've been consistent on this the entire time. I don't care what those guys take. Let them all be on the gas. This is for entertainment purposes only. I look at this stuff like I look at my horoscope. I don't depend on it to get through my day. This is entertainment. And if they need to do whatever they need to do, then go ahead. Cork every bat. I don't care. All right. Let's just be honest and upfront about it, that somebody's always trying to cheat and always trying to do something to try and get an advantage. But this, according to Jeff Passan, that Major League Baseball is planning to issue a memo coming up later on today about the foreign substances. And it's going to discuss the discipline aspect of it. And I want you to tell me if this just sounds like a frightening amount of punishment. According to Jeff Passan, the punishment will be a 10-day suspension for anyone caught with any sort of substance, from sunscreen mixed with rosin to spider tack. And the best part is that 10-day suspension, you guessed it, is with pay. So I ask you this, Brady Quinn, why the hell wouldn't you use a foreign substance at this point? If it's only going to be 10 days and you're still getting paid, wait, you mean I get a week and a half off and yeah. I can get a better spin rate on a ball? Where's the punishment?
I'm not really too sure. Maybe they feel like it's more about your reputation. Here's what I'd do, okay? Here's what I'd do. I would put on all that sunscreen, I mean, and make it so obvious, okay, that the umpire would walk out behind home plate and be like, are you really doing that in front of me right now? Like, is this, this is a little bit absurd what you're doing. I'd be like, yeah, go ahead, kick me out. And then I'm just going to keep the sunscreen on, go directly to the airport, and take a plane to a sunny destination where I can go lay out for the next 10 days while I get paid.
Like, 100%.
You might as well leave the sunscreen on your entire body and just do it right there on the mound before you head off after you get suspended with pay. This doesn't sound like a punishment at all. It sounds like this is what happened. Major League Baseball opened up this whole can of worms.
Yes.
And now they're trying to put the toothpaste back in the bottle. And so they're like, well, now we've come to realize that maybe the tack was actually used. Yeah, maybe it increases spin rate and that's a byproduct of it. But maybe it was also used for player safety. And we've had rosin bags out there forever. And that was to make sure that, you know, players' hands weren't getting slick and that they had grip to them. And maybe the spin rate difference isn't that big of a difference, right? Like, are we maybe reading too much into this? Maybe actually, as more information comes out, we as Major League Baseball are going to be more to blame with the way we doctor balls year in, year out. Maybe Pete Alonso actually blew the whistle on us. So let's just go ahead and we're going to create a punishment and we're going to try to move past this. We're going to get everyone looking the other way and we're just going to try to move past this, because God forbid anyone looks into Major League Baseball and the way they actually change their baseballs on a year in and year out basis. Maybe that's more of the impact that we're seeing from pitching or hitting year in, year out.
It's a clown show. This has been my point all along. If I were D. Smith or any of these guys in the NFLPA, I would set aside some time and I would talk with the Major League Baseball Players Association and I would just say, so how do you do it? Like, literally, how do you, like, this is how powerful the MLBPA is, that when the Astros, who were explicitly caught using trash cans and electronic devices on torsos and high-level video equipment and all of that stuff, not only did the players not get punished, like there was no removal of a ring, there was no removal of a World Series trophy, and all they had to do was talk with Major League Baseball and talk off the record. Like none of this stuff came out. You heard some things that were said. You heard a couple of the Astros players. It's like Major League Baseball's PA is in full control of the entire league. Anything they possibly want, they get. Anything they want, they get. They probably had a conversation with Major League Baseball and said, I mean, if you really want to play this game, we can play this game. I mean, like, here's what we have that we can provide. And you got Rob Manfred and the owners trying to come up with some sort of a solution. And this is what they got. 10 days, which Roberto pointed out to it's two starts for a pitcher. So you mean I missed two starts? Like if I was a pitcher and I was, you know, dealing with some sort of fatigue or whatever, you know what I'm doing? I'm walking out to the mound riddled in either honey, Crisco, sunscreen, spider tack, almost like I've got an entire costume on that bugs are flying around me when I get to the mound, just so I know, hey, at least I'm going to get a 10 days off and I'm going to get paid for it. There is no punishment here. There's nothing here. And I can assure you, and I guarantee you this, if you get popped, I think it's the 50 games, and then it's 80 games, and then it's 300 or whatever it is for it when you get popped for PEDs. I think it's 80 games is the first suspension. If players are still taking PEDs, knowing they're going to get popped for 80 games, you don't think somebody's still going to try and do this to try and get away with it, knowing it's only 10 days? Like this isn't fixing the issue. This is not a deterrent for any player out there. It's 10 days and you get paid. They're still going to try and use something. And you know how this works. When somebody's cheating, somebody's figuring out a way to get away with the cheating. And it's just one level to the next, and you're always trying to chase them down. It's the same thing in cycling, same thing in PEDs, and it's going to be the same thing with this.
Yeah, again, though, when you're talking about spin rate, and if you go look at, like, the difference in spin rate, and I know they talk about, like, how many revolutions and all that per, but I would want to see a longer study. It's not like we've been studying the spin rate for that long. And I know since obviously they started cracking down on this, we've seen a number of pitchers, Gerrit Cole in particular, Trevor Bauer in particular, are a couple of guys where you've seen the spin rate really decrease. And in some cases, you've seen their production or lack thereof, I guess I should say, or production for the other team they're pitching against increase, right? And so we do see that. But we also don't know over an entire season if that's really what attributed to it, if it didn't. It's kind of hard to tell. The only thing I think you could say is this has kind of existed in some fashion or form in baseball.
Yes.
I mean, how long have we, like where do you draw the line in baseball? I mean, for how long, since I was a little league player, you've been trying to steal signals.
Yes.
I don't care if you're on second base and you're a runner. I don't care if you're trying to see a catcher who puts his signals and signs too low and you're trying to figure that out. The entire thing is based on trying to find an advantage. And I guess if you want to call it cheating, I guess it's cheating then. But if you're asking a guy who's sitting on second who's looking and can see the signs, you're telling me he's not going to signal to the batter, hey, it's a fastball, hey, 100%. It's off speed. And
100%.
Give him a little bit of break. Is that really cheating or is that just part of the game?
No, that's part of the game.
But the reality is,
where do you draw the line? Because you've had a rosin bag out there forever. You're sitting on deck. You have pine tar. You have rags. You have all these different things that you use to increase your grip on the bat. I mean, if you're using spider tack to increase your grip, yeah, you can make a case for spin rate. Better grip's going to help you spin the ball better. But also, as you read through a lot of what you're seeing from Major League Baseball, you know what else helps? More pronounced laces. So the higher the laces are when they come from the facility that manufactures them down in Costa Rica, the more spin you can get on the football, the better grip you can get on the baseball, the more spin you can get on the baseball. So that's going to play just as big of a factor. So I just think this whole thing is they're trying to catch something, create some, you know, drama because of all this. But the reality is Major League Baseball and how they manufacture their own balls could very well be just as much to blame for all this as any of the pitchers who are trying to get a better grip on those baseballs, no different than any batter trying to get a better grip on the bat.
Listen, I couldn't care less. Trevor Bauer, use hair gel. I couldn't care less. I think this is a joke. And by the way, if you want to give the batters a better opportunity and you want to improve their chances at trying to get a hit because offense has been so bad in Major League Baseball and they're getting dominated at the plate, simple solution. Anybody who ever played wiffle ball growing up, you know this. You had two options when it came to the bat. You had the long, skinny yellow bat that was in the same sleeve that had the white wiffle ball, and then you had those red bats with the wide barrel. You remember those things? The red plastic bats? There was no off-speed pitch on planet Earth that was getting by one of those red plastic bats. You had that fat barrel on the end of it, and you could hit monster shots. So let's just start fattening up the barrel of these bats and have a brand new MLB. Let everybody cheat. Just give the batters a wider barrel, and I think we even things out, Brady Quinn. Solving problems here.
The only reason why they're doing anything is because the hitters are fed up. Let's just get real.
They're partially to blame, too. We've changed the way that we teach hitting. We changed, you know, look at every hitter now. Now all they care about, especially for these guys getting contracts, is home runs. So you look at their strikeout percentage goes up, their home runs go up, and people are like, well, that's what people want to see. They want to see these guys, go yard. It's not like we're playing small ball anymore. Like, you don't see many teams institute that. So, like, then you have to look at the hitting and the style of hitting and how the instructors are even teaching it now, and then go into that to see what kind of impact it has. I think it's hard to, like, view it in this small vacuum and be able to definitively say, especially year in, year out, based on how the baseballs are being changed, where they're manufactured, it's hard to sit there and say, okay, how big of an advantage is it giving? Because the other thing that Pete Alonso talked about is legitimate, is at least in regards to grip and safety. Like, you want to put hair gel on it, it's fun for us to joke about until a guy gets hit in the face at 99 miles per hour. Like, that's not good for the game. That's not good for anyone involved.
By the way, way to throw hair gel under the bus. I mean, you can't just have like a conversation about baseball. You got to throw hair gel under the bus. How dare you? I mean, like, what do you have against hair gel? Like, you never.
I personally don't use hair gel. I'm not one of those guys.
Hairspray?
Who's got streak dark, a thick head of black hair that likes to really mat down my head to make it look like I'm wearing a helmet. All right, I'm not one of those people.
I have wavy hair, and it gets a little out of control. So I need certain things to try and manage it, and I don't think I should be judged for it. And you mean to tell me on the set of Big Noon Kickoff, when you're out there dealing with the elements, you don't have
zero
product
gel
in your hair?
Zero hair gel.
Oh, no gel? Oh, that's
product,
the biggest lie
product
you ever
and
told.
Hair gel are two very different things.
All right. Well, listen, we will break down. We will all take guesses as to what Brady uses as a hair product coming up later on in the hour. That should be a fun time for everybody involved. He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, there's a really, really, really good player in the NFL, and he has gone AWOL. We'll tell you who it is next here on FSR.
This is Outkick, the coverage.
We will call it 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. There is a team in the world of sports that if they don't get it done now, I don't know when they're ever going to do it. We will get into that here 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So Brady Quinn, Cam Newton returned to the Patriots. He was dealing with a little bit of a hand issue. Now, I have not gotten the details as to what the actual hand injury was or how he suffered the injury. Did he bang it on a helmet? Was that what I saw, something like that? Or... You know, there was a rumor that was circulating on social media that he had an altercation with his brother at Mastro's, that may have been where he,
So what are you saying? He got an altercation at Mastro's, and that's where he ended up hurting his...
His thumb, his hand, whatever the case was. That was just thrown out there on social media. I'm not making these accusations.
A fight going down. Magic City Strip Club in Atlanta. Or Mastro's, and that's any location.
Oh, geez.
Even though my favorite is in Scottsdale.
Yeah,
That one's the best. That's a good one.
You know what? You know what's great about Mastro's though. And people think like, oh, God, it's really expensive to eat there. Well, you don't go there to eat, all right? The beers aren't expensive. And just eat the bread on the table, so you can get in and out of there for like $15, and you're fine. Seriously.
First off. You don't have just one beer and a loaf of bread, all right? That's not how you roll.
Yeah.
So if you're going out drinking,
all right,
you're
going to
be at least
bucks.
15, 20, 30 right, bucks just in beers.
Very good point. All right, all right, $25. All right, $25 and you're out the door.
And does that not include a tip? I mean,
yeah, no,
you of all
a
people
tip.
Who is a man of the people
yes,
should be leaving at least a $10 tip.
Absolutely. And if you want to save a couple of bucks, don't park valet. Just use your Chevrolet and walk there.
That's true. You could. Or you could drive to a certain part, then park and... Then you got to pay for that parking, which is probably what in LA, like $20. So, yeah, all in, knows. I think you can go to a Mastro's, park, pay for that, still got to tip them out, beer, bread, and all that. I don't think you're getting out of there for under $60.
Listen, I happen to disagree. I'm a light beer guy. I'm not drinking this fancy stuff like you do. All right, I work off the little kids menu. I'm an apps type guy, so the bread and a couple of light beers, and I'm in and out. That's it. Done deal. Nothing fancy here. You know who was definitely out? Stephon Gilmore. He was the defensive player of the year a couple of years ago. Very, very good defensive back, cornerback for the New England Patriots, by the way. South Carolina Gamecock. Just wanted to point that out. One of the ones that Spurrier was able to land there in Columbia. So here's the question I have for you. So he no-shows the mandatory minicamp for the New England Patriots on Monday, and he's going to be making $7 million this upcoming season. And people look at that and go, man, that's shockingly low for a player of his stature. But didn't they forward him like $4.5 million from last year off this salary? So wasn't this sort of, if you took the money last year, you had to know this was going to happen. So what am I missing here? And I can't imagine this sits really all that well with Bill Belichick, who's trying to get this team back on track after a down year and a bunch of opt-outs from a year ago.
Yeah, but I think that's partially what maybe bothers him, is in a year where he could have opted out, his contract could have told, it was, I don't want to say a wasted year, but I think maybe some New England Patriots fans might feel that way. I do wonder if he's a bit bitter about coming back, playing, instead of just taking the year off like pretty much everyone else in the secondary did last year. And if Bill's not holding them accountable, it's like, well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try to get a little bit better contract, a little more cash flow, or see if you can't convert some of this into a signing bonus or a little more financial security if you want me to stay here and play for you when I did last year during a pandemic. So, look, I'm always going to be on the player's side on these things. You know, get as much money as you can when you can, because the second you start playing under whatever the value is of that contract, or if just the team doesn't think you're playing up to the value of that contract, they're cutting you. They're trying to get you to take a pay cut at a minimum. And so all those things start to come into play. So I personally have no problem with this. He's one of the few guys that, you know, chose to come and play on a team where in last year there weren't many guys, especially defensively, veteran defensive players, that chose to do that. Stephon Gilmore did, so I give him all the credit in the world for it.
Okay, so let's try and guess how this is going to play out, because now, you know, Jalen Ramsey, you know, kind of gave him a shout out on Twitter, and so people looked at that as you know, is he trying to recruit him? Now, the way that Jalen Ramsey positioned it, it wasn't a blatant violation to where he's trying to recruit somebody who's under contract with another team to the LA Rams. He just kind of gave him a, hey, what's going on? Just kind of a, hey, you know, how's everything? And sort of, so people are trying to tie that together as being like, okay, well, maybe there's going to be a move made. Maybe the LA Rams are in the market for Stephon Gilmore. The Patriots have him under control for this season. So is he going to get more money? Is he going to get a pay raise? Or is Belichick basically going to say, sorry, man, this is where we're at. You know how this thing goes later in the careers for a lot of our best players. This is just the cost of doing business here. And he just has to either show up for the $7 million or he no-shows and he sits out the entire season. Like, how's this thing going to go?
Well, he's not going to no-show for the entirety of the season. I mean, he's under contract, so he'd be subject to being fined for all that. This would be called a legitimate holdout, right? I think it makes sense for them, though, at age 31, even though, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, usually when you get closer to 30, for every position outside of quarterback, even quarterback, depending on the style of quarterback, is viewed as a depreciating asset, right? You know, you're looked at now as your best football probably isn't ahead of you for all those non-quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, though, man, they can play for a long period of time, still play at a pretty high level. He's been there now for, what, 4 years? Is that how long it's been? Five years?
Yeah, because he signed the five-year deal, so this is going into his final year.
Yeah, so he's been there for a long time. I think they know what he brings to the table. He still plays at one of the highest levels. He's a top five cornerback, no matter how you slice in the league. And so it would make sense to extend him at least for 2-3 more years. It really would. And that way he'll get the pay up front like he's looking for, and a little more financial security now that he's, what, 31, I believe?
Yeah.
And then they can spread that out over the next 2 or 3 years. They won't be as cash strapped. I mean, again, I think the other thing that might strike him as, hey, where's my money, is look how much they spend free agency this year. I mean, they went all in free agency. And he's probably sitting there saying, okay, I signed a 5-year deal. I came back and played last year, even though a lot of guys didn't, you know, during the pandemic. And so now, you know, I want an extension. I want more money. And you're not gonna do that at this point in time? I mean, you can see why he might be a little bit frustrated with the circumstances, considering everyone else got paid to help improve this team. He's the one area of the team they don't have to worry about until he's not there. So he's given him a bit of a dose of that now. But, you know, they should extend him and tag on at least a couple more years, if not only a to keep one of the best cornerbacks in the league on their team and not have to potentially use, you know, a franchise tag in the future, but also because it makes more cap sense. And on top of that, it makes more sense if they ever want to deal him in a trade. You know, they'll have him under contract for at least another few years. And so then they can decide what to do with him and what compensation they get back in return if they start to have a, you know, falling apart.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right. If the Milwaukee Bucks can't beat this version of the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, we just remove them from the NBA, right? Like, this is it. Like, like, seriously, at some point, man, like, you got Giannis, you've got Middleton, you're adding pieces, you're adding players, you've got this transcendent talent, two-time MVP. At some point, it's either S or get off the pot. You have a golden opportunity here. It is right in front of you. You've got two-thirds of the big three who are injured. You have a chance now, and I think we probably both agree whoever comes out of this Brooklyn-Milwaukee series, I think, is a heavy favorite over Philly or Atlanta in the Eastern Conference. So this is your de facto Eastern Conference championship series. Milwaukee's got to get this done, dude. Like, I mean, come on. Like, at some point, Giannis and this crew has got to close the deal and has got to advance past whatever they've done in previous playoffs.
No, I was going to say, this is where you jump on the momentum. This is where you jump on the fact that you're not going to get Kyrie back. I don't think Harden. I haven't heard an update on him as far as what his status is. But I would at least say for this particular game, you're not going to get either guys back. It's just Kevin Durant. You focus on him, you shut him down, and you force anyone, and I mean anyone, to dare take a shot and see if they can beat you. Because I don't think they can. And that's where I feel like that the Bucks probably are going to have a deeper bench, at least at this point, better bench. And on top of that, they should be able to with Giannis. And I think their style of play, which we kind of saw a little bit too, if they can start hitting threes – like we've seen now, they started to get a little bit hot. Look out. You know, this series could end here in a couple of games. If somehow the Nets can find a way, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit just in regards to Kevin Durant, and this being a moment for him, I think, to kind of prove or showcase his greatness, to build on his legacy, it would mean something. But I think he's overmatched. I think the Bucks right now, with the health of that team, the way they're playing, they've got a lot of confidence, and they should be able to close this thing out in two games if Durant can't get any help from Harden or Irving.
Here's the and I want you to be honest about this, all right? Did you ever, when you were playing quarterback, even though, say, you guys were getting blown out by, you know, 20 or 30, but you knew you were going to be throwing every down, didn't part of you think to yourself, like, all right, well, at least I can throw it around a little bit. Like, this is going to be fun. I mean, we're not going to win the game, but at least I know I can throw it around a little bit. Like,
The only thing that stinks about that is, you know who isn't looking forward to that at all?
Who's that?
Is your offensive line.
Okay, very good.
That's the group that those guys, you know, unless they're just hard-nosed, tough-minded guys, those are the ones that their insecurities come out. Like, they're the ones that when it's like, all right, it's summertime, you know, we got to take off our winter coat, you know, put our bathing suits on. That's where, like, you start to see some insecurities of linemen. It's those moments when you know you've got to throw for almost the entirety of the second half. It's going to be up tempo, or at least, you know, a little bit faster pace, because you can't afford to waste any time. It's those moments where they're tired, they're fatigued. They're in a one-dimensional, you know, mold right now. And those D linemen are just teeing off on them, and they're rotating guys in. Yeah, it's those moments where in the huddle, when you get a chance to, or even the sidelines, they're asking for a chip. They're like, come on, man, can I get a chip? Can I get a chip? You'll hear them sometimes with the old lookout block, or they'll be telling you, you know, get rid of the ball. And so a lot of times, that's when their true character comes out in those moments. But for quarterbacks, yeah, you love it, because you get to run around a little bit more too and scramble around and try to make a play. And honestly, if you're down by a lot and you throw a pick, who cares, man? Like, I think Phillip Rivers was saying this, you know, and he threw like two or three picks at the end of one game. It's like, well, what do you want him to do? You want him to check it down, throw the ball away? Is that what you want him to do? Like, you want him to take chances in those moments. So you kind of feel like you're playing with house money. You could take a little greater risk.
See, I ask that because if you're Kevin Durant, you don't think there's a little part of him that is like, hey, man, I'm going to get 60 shots tonight. I'm literally going to get 60.
Do we have an over-under yet on the amount of shots?
I don't know. I got to look into that. And again, I'm not much of a gambler. I don't know if you know that or not. They're not really my thing. But I will investigate where we're at on that. Because if it's anything below 75, I'm taking the over. All right. If it's 74.5, I'm taking the over on field goal attempts for Kevin Durant because he is going to be their only hope. Their only hope is Kevin Durant going off, which I think he's probably going to look forward to, at least a small part of him. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, there was a detail in regards to traveling as an NFL player. I would like to investigate a little bit more. If you've ever wondered what it's like to go on the road as an NFL player, do not go anywhere. We've got the exclusive next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I did promise that we were going to get to what it's like to travel with an NFL player because there was a detail I would like to, not pick apart, but have a discussion about. And we will get to that here in a moment.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, this is important stuff here on Fox Sports Radio. Now, you mentioned the field goal props for Kevin Durant in this game, the amount of field goal attempts, because there's no Kyrie Irving, there's no James Harden.
I'm guessing 38.5 as the over-under, maybe 39.5. And again, the reasoning is, because I think 40 is in play, but here's why it might be difficult. If I am the Bucks, I am going to literally be doubling Kevin Durant as soon as he crosses the half-court line. There's going to be somebody who's uncovered, and I'm going to force that guy to beat me. I know he's in the NBA, but I'm going to force that guy to beat me, take 20, 25 shots, whoever it may be, outside of Kevin Durant. So I actually think it may be tough for him to get off some shots, even though he's as good as anyone at being able to get a shot off.
Well, get your billfold ready, Brady Quinn. We do have a prop. By the way, back in the day, they called wallets billfolds. I don't know if you knew that or not. A little old school stuff here. I mean, a little, old school.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dop kit. You know, not a lot of people call it a dop kit anymore.
Yeah, just little. I mean, you're not really a Midwest guy. I got family in Monmouth, Illinois, western part of the state.
When's the last time you've been there?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think that's any of your business, to be honest with you, when I've been to Monmouth, Illinois.
Yep.
You know,
that's what I thought.
The birthplace of Wyatt Earp and my father, so just want to point that out. But for the people, listen, I mean, I don't know, like a shotgun sound of it. You make it sound like my dad was a terrible guy. Wyatt Earp and my father in Monmouth, Illinois. But the Knox family has roots there. And, as a Midwest guy, billfold and the term pop as opposed to soda are part of the lingo. I don't know if you know that or not, Brady Quinn. Not really a Midwest guy. Florida guy now. You're not really your thing.
I mean, you can say whatever you want. The reality is I spend more time in college in the Midwest than you have your entire life.
That's
so
a fair point.
There's that.
That is a fair point. Danny G has a betting prop update on Kevin Durant for tonight's game in which he has zero help against the Milwaukee Bucks. Danny?
Yeah, I'm sure Dub has at least $20 on this prop bet. He found this for us. KD's points scored prop, 35.5.
Over.
That's points, though.
Yeah,
what about
yeah,
shots?
It's points.
Listen, that's not like
no shots are listed on the legal websites, at least right now.
Yeah.
Just the
give me the
point score.
Give me an illegal one.
well, listen.
Give me some spider tack.
Okay, you wouldn't hammer over 35.5 on Durant. I will gladly take the over. In fact, I'm going to bet it right now. Brady, give me your credit card. I'm going on Fox Bet right now. Go ahead and read me the numbers over the air, and then I'll go ahead and I'll make that.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and Apple Pay you.
Okay, very good. Listen, I'm taking the over on that. He has to. Like, there's no choice. Like, he has to score that many. So he's going to get. Here's the other thing to keep an eye on this. In two consecutive games this series, as a team, the Bucks shot 8 or fewer free throws. All right, so they were not getting foul calls. I think Durant is going to try and get to the foul line as well, too. I think he's going to try and slow the game down and get to the foul line, and I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because they're going to do whatever they can to try and to extend this series. I think that's going to happen. So I will gladly take the over on 35.5 points. Book it.
I'm going to take the over. I think it could be close. I'm telling you, like I know he's going to have to take a lot of shots. I know the offense is going to run through him. That's it. I think PJ Tucker's done a good job. I think by and large, they're going to do a good job of trying to shut him down, you know, force a double, force him to pass the foot, pass the basketball and make someone else make the shot. Like it's hard to think that given their offense and what it's looked like with Harden and Kyrie, not having those two guys, that Steve Nash will be able to find a way of constructing out of the triangle offense out of nowhere. And Kevin Durant's going to become Michael Jordan. Like, it's not going to happen. So he'll probably hit the over, but I'm really curious to see how many shots he's able to get off.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here, Fox Sports Radio. I'll kick the coverage. So we talked about traveling as an NFL player. And the strategy, quickly for the new audience, is if you have a game on Sunday, what would certain coaching staffs like to do so they could have maybe a free night to go out on the town and kind of hit up some of the scenes?
Yeah, they would disguise essentially a night out on the town with their boys on the staff by saying, well, we've got to adjust to the time zone, right? Whether you're going east to west, west to east, we've got to adjust to this. So let's go out a day ahead of time. Instead of Saturday, we're going to leave on Friday after practice. And we're going to get in with enough time to, go out, have a nice dinner, maybe peruse the town a little bit, you know, hit a bar or two, and then, quote unquote, make curfew by midnight.
Now, so curfew was midnight, and you pointed out that you always made curfew like that throughout your career. Like, you never miss curfew, correct?
Never miss curfew.
All right. Yeah. Here's the problem with that. You make it seem like as long as you make it by curfew, you can't still go out and get banged up. Like, come on, man. Like, the older you get, you know how this works. Like, you're not worried about staying out till 2 a.m. In fact, you'd rather start early the older you get and be done sooner so you're not having to deal with a hangover and waking up late the next day. So you could very easily go out at 6 p.m., do enough damage, and be back by 11:30 with barf on your shirt.
You're focusing on the wrong part, though. It's so the next day you can be there and you can get an IV as soon as humanly possible from your trainers. And so now you're getting the recovery process started.
Very good. There he is, Brady Quinn, folks. Back for more next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.